And thanks a bunch, JP. I appreciate the intro. That's very kind of you. It's always very, very good to have a chance to kind of express your thoughts, especially when people can benefit. And that's just one of the ways that we need to think about this. What can we do to improve our health? So last week, I talked about biofilms, but for some reason, when I walked away from the program, I thought, oh my goodness, I probably didn't give enough precise information where people really understood the point that I was trying to make. So what I want to do is I want to have another go at it. And I've kind of thought of this from several angles, and I can tell you right now, this topic of biofilms, it is so deep that it's just amazing. You know, when I went to school back in the 80s, we had the Dewey Decimal System. And if you were doing research on something, you'd go look up, okay, and of course, I remember one of my research topics was Parkinson's disease. I had to write a term paper on that. And of course, you've got 3.5 months or three months to get the paper ready so the teacher can review it and you can get criticized and graded and they can point out how you could do research better. But the world has completely changed now. I mean, the hours that I would spend in the school library going through this journal and that journal, and I can tell you this, I remember almost all of them smelled kind of musty and moldy, like they'd been there a long time. And I remember some of the articles that I looked at, they went all the way back to the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. But you know, those are interesting though. Some of these older writings, when it comes to health, they use very plain words and they use plain language, and I think it's easy for a person to understand what the physician is trying to say. And so today, all you have to do is just type into the computer, what are biofilms? How do you get rid of them? How do they occur? And you can come up with all sorts of information. And now, some of the information that I've come across, some of it I got to take with a grain of salt. And so let me have another go with this today, and I'm going to try to at least flesh out my case. But I really believe if you'll just be patient and listen to me, I think that you'll say, okay, this does relate to me. Because one of the issues of health is you don't want to wait until your body is completely broken down before you take action. Oh no, that's too late. And so many people, because of the current system that we have in place that dominates, they prefer to wait until they're all broken down and they look for some type of heroic surgery or drug or procedure. But at that point, it's too late. What we want to think of is, what do we do to turn the tide to our favor? And of course, as I start pouring through information that I'm reading on this topic of biofilms, it is so fascinating and so interesting to see what researchers have come up with and what this doctor over here says about the topic and this one over here on the other side of the world says about it, because I think you can learn that way. I'll tell you what the bottom line is. If you do not read, how are you going to learn anything? Could you imagine if you just were open-minded and you just chose one topic related to your health and you studied it from 10 different angles? Well, you know what? If you're studying health, that means you want to be healthy. So this morning's topic, let me kind of pick up where I left off last week, and I hope I can be just a little bit more precise and to the point. By the way, this program is Health Essentials, and you're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview. I think that's the direction of the antenna. But also, there's a lot of good people to the south and to the west that can pick up this program, but I think the antenna's signal is stronger to the east. Okay, so last week I spent a few moments talking about the importance of biofilms and what the deal is. So let me just say it like this right here. So you're sitting down or you're lying in bed because you haven't gotten up yet, which is fine. Just kick back and relax. Let me talk to you and just kind of take this in. So when you take your tongue and you run it over your teeth, what do you think that bacteria, what do you think that slimy coating is? Well, that's supposed to be a biofilm of very good beneficial bacteria. And that's what a biofilm really is. It's just a sticky film that's made by the living, microscopic little critters that live in your mouth called bacteria. So why do they make that slimy biofilm? Well, to ensure their survival. Because the biofilm enables them to attach to an area and to grow and reproduce, and they can have a place to live. It's like their own home. Just like you would build a log cabin from scratch in Alaska if you want to be safe from the grizzly bears and maybe the wolverines also. Well, you got to have a strong exterior to do that, and that's what biofilms are. But there's a lot more to biofilms than just a slimy, sticky coating. One of the simplest examples that I think of, and I know this has happened to you, but you go to a restaurant to eat, and the waiter or the waitress, they hand you a menu. And the menu is like a piece of laminated plastic, and the moment you touch it, you feel that sticky tackiness. Well, let me ask you, what do you think that sticky coating is that is all over the menu? Well, it's a layer of toxic bacteria, most likely. And if you ask me, that's gross. So if the menus are really sticky, what does that tell you about the condition of the kitchen, most likely, and the restrooms, and the tables? Have you ever touched the table at a restaurant that's really clean? Well, there's no sticky tackiness at all. But I know that you've been to a restaurant where if you just rest your elbows on the table or you put your hands on the table, you think, why are my hands and fingers sticking to the table like it's glue? That's because it's got a layer of biofilm. And most likely that biofilm is going to be toxic germs that are living underneath it. So what if you went to a restaurant and the dinnerware or the plates or the glasses, they had kind of a slimy feel to them, or the utensils, or you go to the restroom and the faucets? Those are all examples of biofilms. The problem is, when you have a good beneficial microbes living inside of you, then biofilms are just fine. But what if you have a toxic biofilm? Well, that's where it's pretty bad, because these toxic biofilms, they make it so much harder for a person to fight an infection, especially if that infection is lodged somewhere in your sinuses or in a tooth or in your lungs, the respiratory system. Depending on where it is, it may be the lowest lobe of the right lung, or it might be the bronchial tree. But if you have a slimy coating there full of toxic bacteria, well, they are so good at evading all the drugs that are used by modern medicine. Even one of the studies that I keep coming up with over and over again, if these toxic germs or bacteria or yeast, fungus, viruses, parasites, if they form a toxic biofilm, it makes them 1,000 times more impervious to the effects of antibiotics. And so one of the things that we just absolutely have to do is we've got to find a way to bust up that sticky, slimy goo that ensures these toxic germs survive. And if you're listening to the program this morning, you're a human being, and you know full well the number one cause of death worldwide prior to modern times with modern antibiotics was always infection. Remember the story of King Hezekiah? He had an issue of boils. Of course, I kind of have a mental image in my mind of what that looked like. But he cried out to God. And of course, the prophet Isaiah, he had him make some type of a fig poultice. I don't know if it was universally strictly figs, but I can tell you what, figs contain natural enzymes, and those enzymes can break down specifically these toxic, slimy infections that just don't want to go away. So if you've heard of somebody having a staph infection and they have boils, well, that would be one example. Those are slimy biofilms. You don't need to have them living in your body. And so if you run your tongue along your teeth after a long day at work and you feel a slimy coating, well, that's what you're doing, is you're noticing that you have an oral biofilm. And of course, if it's good bacteria, you got nothing to worry about. It's the bad ones that we got to worry about. That's the ones that make people sick. And so these biofilms are literally found everywhere in nature where bacteria stick to surfaces. That's the only way they can live. See, bacteria have a choice. They can either be a lone wolf and be all by themselves as one individual, rod-forming bacteria. I think that's called planktonic when they're by themselves, or they can stick together with their own kind. And that's really where they do their damage. And so in the human body, there's probably 5 major unique sites where these biofilms can eventually be very, very problematic. They can be good, but they can be bad. The bad ones are the ones that I'm probably going to focus on the most. And so if you think about the gut, why don't we just go all the way from the mouth and the nose all the way down to the other end? And the other end is when you go to the bathroom, that's the other end. Okay, so you have everywhere that you have these mucus-lined membranes, and that could be called your nose, your sinuses, the eustachian tube, the tonsils. You just keep going all the way down where you'd swallow food or water, and we'll call that the gut. Then you have the respiratory tract. So when you breathe in the tremendous gift of life called oxygen from God, you're breathing that into your lungs. Well, what if you have in your lungs consistent, persistent, ongoing, resistant bacteria or infection that just won't go away? Well, that's where these biofilms get to be a problem. And the goal is, we got to break them down. Well, what if you have toxic biofilm on your skin? Well, let's call it, that could be called a staph infection, or that could be called a yeast infection. Now, the other one that's just a big one, it happens all the time, is going to be urinary tract infections. So if a woman or a man has a urinary, it's usually women, you know that. If a woman has one UTI after the other, yeah, you can use Antibox to beat down what's in the bladder momentarily. But just as soon as you're through with the antibiotics, they come back out of hiding again, they start the process all over again. So these examples would be, would be the locations. The other thing that I haven't really discussed yet, and this is really a super, super big deal, is just the idea that if you have some type of a medical appliance or device inserted into your body, that's one of the biggest problems of all time. So let me give you an example. Let's just say that a man falls accidentally. It's a freak accident. But the root is he breaks his ankle. And so he's in a lot of pain. He goes, okay, what do we do? And the orthopedic surgeon says, I need to drill a hole through that broken bone, and I'm going to take a screw. And what if the screw is made of something like titanium? Or if the screw is made from, I'm just going to make something up. Let's just say stainless steel. And they screw the broken part of the bone back to the tibia so it can attach. Well, at first you go, hey, this is a good idea now that it's healing. But what if you have non-stop problems with inflammation and pain at the area of the screw? Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, we better do our job and get that screw out. It's that important. And so when you insert something that's not human organism or human cells into the body, that's where you're going to start to have these biofilms, especially of toxic bacteria, start to grow. And the problem is, they literally just spew forth all their toxic waste. The type of toxins that they secrete are called lipopolysaccharides. And I realize that's a little bit much to deal with. I was reading an article yesterday on it, and it's just like so much information. I'm going, Roy, nobody wants to hear about endotoxin A or exotoxin B. But you get the concept that if you had a dental implant, like a titanium post or implant where they could attach an artificial tooth made of porcelain or some material like that, if you think back and you go, you know what? I remember what I used to feel like prior to getting this dental implant. And I felt pretty good. But after getting this implant, for the last 6 years, my health has really suffered and gone downhill. Well, can you just kind of sort of put two and two together on your timeline and say to yourself, you know what, if I'm being honest with myself, that's when my problems really began, when I had the dental implant, okay? And so there's some people, they may have to get that removed in order to be well, because those are hard to deal with. And some people, they can't help it. they may have like a defibrillator or a Watchman device or a pacemaker, or they have an artificial hip or a knee. Well, those are all just perfect breeding grounds for bacteria. So I'm not trying to make it sound negative, but I'm trying to give you some way that you can tackle these issues in a way where you don't poison yourself and make yourself worse. And when I say make yourself worse, how many rounds of antibiotics does a person consume before they're just at the end of themselves? Okay, you know the answer to that. You can't rely on those. And so when you have a healthy biofilm, this is going to be where you have beautiful, healthy bacteria like Lactobacillus acidophilus, if you've ever heard of those. Or if you have a type of good bacteria called Bifidobacterium, or one called Bacteroidetes. So those are good bacteria. So when you have these healthy, good biofilms from good bacteria, what it does is the biofilm, that slimy coating, is a structure that keeps the good bacteria from drying out and becoming dehydrated. And that's what biofilms are made of. They're mainly made of water. But a biofilm can be almost like the oil that you have in the crankcase of your car. The oil has detergent in it, and that traps and binds toxic waste that normally would damage your engine. That's one of the reasons why you need to get your engine oil changed regularly, so you get rid of the toxic waste that could gum up or contaminate or jam up, you know, one of your pistons or valves or something. You don't want to throw a monkey wrench in the works. No, you want very, very clean oil. If you look at the motor oil in your car and it's like thick and black like tar, I'm going, have you ever changed this oil before? Anyway, so in your healthy gut under normal circumstances, it's going to be populated from the tip of your nose all the way down to the other end of the body at the end of your colon by these really, really good beneficial bacteria. Sometimes they're called the microflora or the microbiota or the microbiome. I kind of like the term the microbiome. But this the good microbiome, they secrete this thin, slippery biofilm so they have a place to live. And if you have a lot of good, friendly bacteria living on the lining of your gut, well, then there's not a whole lot of room for toxic ones to live, right? And so this healthy biofilm, it actually helps allow the passage of nutrients through the intestinal wall so you can actually get nutrients and food to all the cells and glands and tissues that make up your body. That's right. They have to have oxygen, and they have to have food if they're going to be able to do their job. And if you have good biofilms and good bacteria and good flora, they really do a remarkable job to keep inflammation in check. And so I'm just thinking, one of the articles that I read, it was a topic of colon cancer in the presence of biofilms. And what they were saying is basically, if you have some toxic infections living inside of your colon, and these are toxic biofilms, they release this toxic vile waste that just kind of spews forth. And what it does is, number one, these toxins, they turn off your immune system. Do you know what that means? Well, that ain't good. When this toxic biofilm or infection full of yeast and fungus and toxic bacteria, parasites and viruses, when they secrete their waste, they're basically telling your immune system, don't work, don't do your job, don't keep us in good working order. And then number two, from this one article, that was what I gleaned from it, is the toxic biofilm, it fuels the growth of cancer. So if you have a cancer cell, instead of a natural T killer cell saying, hey, you don't belong here, I'm going to beat you up and eat you and kick you out of the body. That's what you want. You want your healthy, strong immune system to do its job properly. And that means getting rid of cancer cells and also toxic bacteria and viruses. Mm-hmm. But if you have these toxic bacteria living inside of you that form these toxic biofilms, they actually encourage the growth of cancer. And in this article that I read, and I can't remember the name of the authors, but I want to say it was from either India or well, another country across the pond. But they were saying you can't have colon cancer without having these toxic biofilms that drive the process. And I know that's like a new concept, but when you have a good healthy biofilm made up of good bacteria like Lactobacillus acidophilus, they have one of the greatest anti-inflammatory functions of all time, which is a major benefit, given that you're going to be under daily assault. I don't know if you really grasp this, but every day that you're living on this earth, you're going to come in contact with outside chemicals and toxins. What have I told you before? The city of Irving or Arlington, they determined they could not remove antibiotics from their drinking water. That means if you're going to Arlington today, or if you're in Irving and you drink water from a tap, guess what you're drinking? You're drinking the residue of antibiotics. You know how they got there? Somebody took them, then they went right into the sewage treatment plant. Use your imagination. And even all the processed foods you come in contact with, there's chemicals in processed foods that just don't do you any favors. Now, they do the food industry a lot of favors because they make them a lot of money, but they don't necessarily make you super healthy. And yeah, you already know how this works. There's an entire industry out there. What they really want out of you is they want a customer for life, which means they would like it if you were on prescriptions, lots of them, and you kept returning to refill those every single month. Okay? I'll let you figure that out. You're pretty smart. But one of the main concepts of biofilms is it's kind of proof that there's strength in numbers. When good microorganisms and good bacteria work together to create a very strong community, which is a biofilm, they have a greater chance of survival. And they have greater capacities for action than individual organisms. That's why almost all the bacteria on Earth are attached to other bacteria, and that's why biofilms can develop in a matter of hours. They do it really fast. I kind of thought about an analogy of the church. When one person tries to do their job in the church, that's good. But what happens if everybody's on the same page and they all work together toward the common goal? That's when tremendous, wonderful, good things happen. But you know what? There's a point where biofilms go bad. Okay, just like good bacteria I just mentioned use biofilms to protect themselves in their home. That's your tissues, that's your organs. Bad bacteria, they can use biofilm to protect against your immune system. And also all the drugs and medications that are used to eradicate them, like antibiotics. And an unhealthy oral or gut biofilm, what it does is it creates the perfect condition for infection and disease. So if you don't take anything else away today, when you have toxic germs growing inside of you, what they do is they create the perfect condition for you to be sick, for diseases to rule the day. And so, toxic gut biofilm, this is one of the main reasons why some infections, they just never seem to go away. Could you imagine if you went to the doctor to have a biopsy of your prostate? And what they do is they take a needle and they poke it in there, and let's just say they get 16 different samples from different locations within the lobes of the prostate. But a couple weeks later, what you experience is you've got the worst prostate infection of all time and you're miserable. Well, guess how that happened? They took a needle and poked a hole in the prostate. I didn't say the test is not important, but if you do not have strength and integrity of the tissues, if you're weak from chronic biofilms and infections, well, how are you going to protect yourself against an infection that never goes away? You know what? One of the main things that these bad toxic biofilms do, and maybe here's one example. Have you ever gone to the dentist before, or just open your mouth, look in the mirror, maybe a handheld mirror, and see if you have thick layers of plaque? And if you take a metal scaling device after it's been sterilized in an autoclave for 20 minutes at 225 degrees, I'm just joking about that, but you don't want to put anything toxic in your mouth, So if you had like a scaling device and you said, oh my goodness, I'm scraping off these hard chunks of plaque. Well, what do you think that plaque is made of? Well, it's made of minerals. And that's what these bad toxic biofilms do. They steal your minerals from you. Never underestimate what an infection will do. They don't make the world a better place. They steal from you where you have less for you and they have more for them. I remember reading, this was about 3 weeks ago, there was the topic of autism. And if you want to include Asperger's, that's fine. But one of the tidbits of research that I find so interesting is that when they actually try to go after these toxic biofilms in children or adults that have autism, they find out that their bodies throw off all these huge toxic metals like mercury and lead and aluminum. Let me see, what else can I think of? Did I mention mercury yet? But all these things are so toxic to the nervous system and to the brain. And so that, to me, is very interesting. If somebody has autism, maybe one of the things you need to consider is they may have an overgrowth of toxic bacteria and these yucky, toxic, bad biofilms, and that's what's causing the problem. The other thing, or maybe number two on my list that I made this morning, is when you have a toxic overgrowth of bacteria and biofilms in your gut, it blocks the full absorption of nutrients. And so if you have a meal that's called meatloaf with onions and bell peppers and all the spices, and it's made of one-third liver, so nobody knows that you're sneaking liver into the meatloaf. Well, when you eat that, there's nutrients such as vitamin A. Well, that's what the biofilm does. It blocks the absorption of the nutrients. As a matter of fact, it's going to pretty much steal the nutrients from your good, delicious food, you know, from the broccoli and from the onions. It's going to try to eat it themselves. And the other thing that you already know is all these toxic organisms and these bad biofilms, they promote so much inflammation. Now, you don't have the same experience that I do, but most people get this really quick. This is what they say. They say, Dr. Morgan, every single place that you touch on my body, it hurts bad. So, for example, if I reach around and touch the kidney, they say, ouch. If I press into where the gallbladder or the liver is located and they try to grab my fingers because the pain is so bad, or I feel the left side of their small intestine, or if I run my fingers over the pancreas, or if I touch the neck or a vertebrae or a lymph node or the tonsils or the submandibular gland, you just keep going. If all that hurts, what you have is you're swimming in an ocean of inflammation. That means your body wants to heal, but it can't. The other thing these toxic biofilms or infections do is they protect these yucky bacteria from antibiotics and antifungals. And these actually can be even herbal ones, okay? Of course, I'm very biased that way. If somebody tells me I've had 66 rounds of antibiotics, Dr. Morgan, I'm still not well. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that plan's not working. Really? The 67th or 68th or the 80th dose over the next few weeks is going to do the trick? I don't think so. But these slimy biofilms, what they do is they also protect this disease-producing organism from your own innate immune system. I really don't think the immune system gets as much credit as it should get, because one of my buddies sent me an article, and I did not read the article in its entirety. I just can't. There's just not enough time of the day to read every article somebody sends me, but I try. And he was saying in the article, there's a significant number of people in Great Britain that still, as of yet, refuse to take the vaccine. And they're giving them a very hard time. Like, oh, don't you care about your fellow man? Aren't you going to be a good person and get a vaccine for the coronavirus or for COVID-19? But then again, the same article, they're looking at the most up-to-date statistics on the people that are dying in hospitals from COVID-related issues. Okay, are you with me on that? And basically, when you look at the stats, 90% of all the people that are dying from the COVID-related problems in the hospital, guess what? They have been triple vaccinated. Okay? I just want you to be open to the idea that there may be more to the narrative of life and death than what meets the eye. We've made it too simplistic. And see, what I'm getting to is these toxic biofilms, they provide the strongest protection for staph infections and for E. coli and a type of yeast called Candida albicans. But I'm convinced they also provide superior protection for COVID-19. I think I told you from the online journal Science, they documented an individual that had the coronavirus or COVID-19 for exactly 471 days as of the writing of the article. And he tested positive for the very first variant. He never got well. And when they tested again, he had the second variant and the third mutation and the fourth variant. And finally the Delta and the Omicron and now the BA5. He's gone through all of them. Never gotten well. Well, in my geniusness, I'm going, well, I wonder if there's another factor here. But that's what you want. You want your immune system to rise to the occasion and do its job. And so, as when I'm looking through the research on this, and there's no way that I've finished this topic. I'm just kind of scratching the surface. But let me run these things past you. And it may be that as you're listening this morning, this doesn't even relate to you at all. Well, then I'm going to say, good, way to go. You're a good steward of your body. You're in good working order. This is great. But there's going to be somebody that you know that struggles with these problems, so just kind of hear me out on here. You know as well as I do, it's one thing to have a common cold where you're kind of sick for 3 days and then you bounce back and you have resilience and you spring back to life again and you're perfectly fine, right? Okay. That might actually be something that's good for the immune system. All right? But what if you have a problem called chronic fatigue syndrome and you're so exhausted all the time and you never feel like you have energy? Well, one of the considerations is they've discovered that those that have chronic fatigue syndrome, they have a high proportion of biofilms in their body. And they know that because they can measure what's called lipopolysaccharides that are secreted by toxic biofilm infections. And there's another condition. Now, this is the one that I think, and these are all fixable right here. Sometimes it's hard, but they're fixable. But there's a condition called fibromyalgia. If you don't know anybody that has fibromyalgia, you might say to yourself, well, I wonder what it feels like to ache and hurt all the time. Well, what if you are not used to physically working out or going to an exercise class, and all of a sudden you say, you know what, I'm going to CrossFit. I've been sedentary for 30 years. I am a salesman. I sit down all day long. I never move my body. And you think you're going to go into a CrossFit and have like the most excellent advanced athletic potential, and then you walk away from class going, oh dear, what did I get myself into? And the next day you wake up in bed and you go, I can't move, I hurt all over. Well, that's what somebody feels like that has fibromyalgia. And the issue is they haven't been to a CrossFit class when they weren't physically fit. No. That's just the way they feel all the time. Well, now they know that between chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, they think that these have an infectious root. Okay? Now, this is the other one that I'm kind of focusing on in my mind, because knowing this information, it helps me understand what could be at play here. And like anything else, that's what every human being really needs. A human being needs to know, what's the problem? Why is my body not working right? Because if they know, then they can do something about it, okay? We got to get rid of this whole idea that blind faith and trusting everyone at every turn. There's nothing you can do, ma'am. We're going to try another antidepressant drug to see if it works. I don't like that plan. And so, if you've ever heard of somebody having GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, if you want to call it heartburn, indigestion, if you want to call it a volcanic eruption of toxic acids boiling up into your throat and your mouth at 2 o'clock in the morning, burning, you can. But now they're convinced the real root cause is because you have these toxic bacteria living in filthy, vile biofilms. And what they're doing is they're secreting all their vile, toxic waste into your body nonstop. And so, yeah, you can take an acid blocker, but the problem is you're not going to fix the chronic infection. They also think now that men and women that have irritable bowel syndrome and the autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis, and there's another one called Crohn's disease, well, they know this is from a toxic overgrowth of biofilm. It's not because you have too many good bacteria. It's because you have too many toxic ones. Okay? You ever heard of SIBO? I was doing a literature search, and if I'm not mistaken, in the late 50s is when this term was first coined. And when you say the late 50s, well, this is over 60 years ago. It's known as a small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And that can include symptoms like heartburn. If you know what it's like to feel bloated immediately, so if you eat food and you feel immediately bloated, or you have a lot of gas, even if you have gas that doesn't have any odor to it, it still makes me think something's going on. But what if you have gas that doesn't smell so good? Okay? Abdominal cranking. What am I saying? If you know what it's like to be swollen and bloated with cramps, that's what I'm talking about. But the other big one, when the small intestine is where you have the bacterial overgrowth, that's where you get the brain fog. Oh, my word. I think I had two people in the last 2 weeks that had previously, the month before, they had severe, horrible arthritis for a long time. And now, all of a sudden, they don't. Well, we made some changes to try to discourage the toxic bugs from living in their body. What if you have a chronic skin condition like eczema or psoriasis, or if you have acne? Well, acne is probably one of the greatest examples of what it's like to have a toxic biofilm. Or if you've experienced chronic systemic candida overgrowth. Okay? Not good. So, when you have an overgrowth of candida, it just totally screws up everything in your gut. And it can lead to anything from diarrhea to constipation to weight gain to very intense sugar or alcohol cravings. You could have horrible bloating. But you have to understand, all these toxic germs, they're seeking refuge. What they want to do is they want to live in a nice, slimy, moist biofilm so they don't have to die. Okay. What I want to do is I want to spend just a brief moment, then we'll go straight to the phone call. But these are some of the things that I've come up with by looking at the research. See, there's a lot of traditional herbal preparations that may also just naturally degradate, break down these tough biofilms. And these are such long-term remedies. They've been on the earth a long time. I don't know how anybody could say that they're toxic. Of course, you want to use caution. You're not like my UPS driver that told me he had a quart jar of pickle juice in his car. I mean, his big brown box van or truck, and he decided he was going to drink the whole thing. Well, guess what happened? He said his stomach hurt for days. Well, he probably overdid the acid or the acetic acid that's in the pickle juice. But one of the remedies that's been around a long time that breaks this stuff down, the toxins, is just called apple cider vinegar. Some people might do really, really well with taking 1 to 2 teaspoons in a glass of water once a day. And that might start the process of just very, very gently scrubbing and removing the toxic biofilms or infections from the body. Now, am I overpromising anything to you? No. You know me well enough to don't know that. But you got to start to have some type of, what plan do I have in place to turn my health around where I don't need to go for another round of antibiotics. The other one that I came across, and this stuff is so potent, but you got to, again, this is one of those, you can't just take a straight bottle of apple cider vinegar and drink it. You're asking for it. As a matter of fact, you might die if that's the case. Don't do that. No, I'm just joking. Hopefully you won't die. But you could be in misery for a while if you drank an entire quart jar of apple cider vinegar. Don't do that. I said 1 to 2 teaspoons in a glass of water. You got to dilute it. But also, when I look at the research, it is so interesting what I've been able to uncover. What it's called eugenol, like the word Eugene and then N-O-L, eugenol. But guess where that comes from? That comes from the clove. Clove is literally one of the most interesting substances known to man that helps dissolve these toxic biofilms and break them down. The problem is, eventually, when you have an infection of some kind, even if it's a low-grade infection that's living in your body and you can't tell you do, it just eventually gets to the point where your kidneys and your liver and your spleen and your lymph nodes and your circulatory system, they're all swimming in the filth. They can't get rid of it. Okay? One of the things I think I shared with you last week when I was just reviewing the research, one of the things they've shown that really helps is you've got to get plenty of fiber. Well, how do you do that? Well, you got to eat real food. Well, why am I saying it that way? You get to eat whatever you want. It's your choice. It's your call. I think I've shared with you the research on when you eat onions every day, you're really helping yourself become healthier. And if you can consume garlic, you're putting yourself into a really good place. You know, one of the herbs or a fruit that's been shown to be so beneficial to women that have, and men too probably, that have horrible urinary tract infections is just the lowly cranberry. I always think about cranberries growing in a bog somewhere up in the, where they wash them in a bog or in water. Haven't you seen those the old commercials on television where they have the men standing in a pond filled to the maximum with cranberries? It's pretty cool looking. But that's one thing that cranberry does. It's like an anti-adhesive herb or plant. When I say anti-adhesive, it keeps the E. coli from gluing itself to your urinary tract or your urethra. So this actually does a good job of helping to break up the biofilms. Other ones, I'm telling you, garlic is so hard to beat. And see, one of the big problems that you're going to face is, what do you do when you take an antibiotic? Because what's going to really happen is, besides killing the bad bacteria, or if you take antifungals to kill the yeast, you're going to start killing off with all the good stuff also at the same time. But garlic doesn't seem to do that. If you take the Goldilocks just right amount of garlic, what it does is it starts to penetrate the toxic biofilms. But I remember a study that I read years ago. It said specifically that garlic was so beneficial because, number one, it didn't seem to have any toxic effects at killing the good biofilms or the good microbiome. And there's a concept called quorum sensing. Quorum sensing is where the bacteria communicate with each other to coordinate biofilm behavior. And so, lo and behold, garlic disrupts toxic bacteria from being able to communicate. It's like a band of terrorists. There's 300 terrorists running towards you with AK-47s and rocket-propelled grenades, and they intend you harm. But if they can't communicate, then you might actually have a chance to survive the attack. But if you can communicate well, saying, okay, contact left, contact right, straight ahead, behind us, don't let them flank, then you can come up with a strategy. And so garlic seems to be a substance that tends to penetrate the toxic biofilm and make it much easier for your immune system to say, all right, now we can get after this. One of the things that we used when I was in the microbiology lab, we use lots of bleach, we use Lysol. But some of the studies are showing now that a lot of these toxic germs that we come in contact with, they don't respond to antibiotics anymore. and they don't really do really well. They can get around the bleach, meaning they can survive it, and they can also survive Lysol. So it used to be that if you used Lysol to disinfect a tabletop in a microbiology laboratory, that you were doing great, but that doesn't work anymore. But you know, one thing that's been shown to destroy just about every toxic virus or bacteria or fungus? Well, it's called white distilled vinegar. If you ever come into my office and it smells like white vinegar, well, guess why? It's because I've sprayed it everywhere out of necessity. But vinegar is one of those unique substances that's so inexpensive. I'm guessing you can probably still buy a gallon of it for like, what, $3? I don't know. Maybe it's gone up to $4 now with inflation. But vinegar is white vinegar. Besides the apple cider vinegar, white vinegar is something that you should definitely have in your home or in your arsenal. And I think it's one of the great things that you could keep into one of those heavy-duty spray bottles. If you go to the aisle where they have paint supplies and they have mops and cleaning supplies, they sell these spray bottles that work really, really well. And they have an application tip that you can adjust to make it more of a strong stream, like a water squirt gun, which is probably what you don't want. But you can spray this stuff everywhere in a fine mist, and you can wipe it down. There's so many people that when they have chronic infections, all I have them do is just take all their bedding and pillows and maybe even the stuffed animals if it's a child. Because if the child is coughing all night or the adult is coughing all night, they're just re-spreading all this slimy gunk where they can just keep reseeding and reinfecting themselves over and over again. So if you take all the bedding and the pillowcases that you're coughing on, put them in the washing machine, and then when there's water in there, preferably hot, why don't you add 1 to 2 cups of just plain Jane white distilled vinegar to your wash and let it do its job. Just like I told you a while ago that you could take 1 to 2 teaspoons, that's not cups, that's teaspoons, of apple cider vinegar to help clean your body from the inside out of toxic bacteria. You could actually sterilize your sheets and your bedding from all the toxic infection. You keep coughing and what if you got green stuff coming out of your nose or your ears? Well, you keep laying your head on that. Why don't we wash that stuff off? So eating good, high-quality food is one of the major keys. Now, the other one that I think is just so brilliant because it seems to work so well when almost everything does not, is you got to start eating foods that are probiotic rich, foods that are literally teeming, blooming, exploding with good beneficial bacteria. Yeah, if you have like canola oil in your kitchen and soybean oil and peanut oil, you got to throw that stuff away. You literally have to throw that stuff away. It's no good for you. But if you say, what about extra virgin coconut oil? What about avocado oil or maybe macadamia nut oil or extra virgin olive oil, especially the kind that's unfiltered? Now you're off to a starting point. You can't put toxic oil in your body and expect your body to heal from an infection. But what if you said, you know what, I think I'm going to start consuming some fermented foods here. There's sauerkraut, there's kimchi. Some people do really well with miso soup or natto, like the old Japanese program for eating. The thing of it is, people have consumed sauerkraut for a long, long time. It's amazing how cabbage becomes transformed when you just let it kind of rot. I mean, let it ferment naturally is what I meant to say. Now, if you're fine with dairy products, what if you made your own yogurt? Or what if you purchased some milk kefir? Yes, I pronounce it kefir. I know that drives you crazy because I have people come to my office and they say, Dr. Morgan, have you ever heard of kefir? And I'm going, are you talking about kefir? Well, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, that's just because I'm from East Texas. I call it kefir. But there's a lot of people that can make their own kefir water, and they can do it by purchasing kefir grains. And some people are highly skilled at making their own kombucha. Or what if you want to take some coconut water and make your own kefir? Or probiotic-rich beverage? What if you add some pomegranate to it to make it taste good? Pomegranate is so good for the body anyway. And there's some people that if you don't really tolerate dairy products, well, then you can get yogurt now from goat milk or from sheep milk, and that can work pretty good. And you can get these probiotics that are made from coconut yogurt. All right, so there's lots of options if you're willing to look. I've had some people call me on the phone. They say, man, that really worked. I said, what are you talking about? Well, they say, remember when you recommend I take gut shots? And so you can go to the refrigerated section at your local health food store, which I think it's good to support them. They really do a good job of providing products. But gut shots, that's the name of a refrigerated product. And maybe it's based on beets, for example. I kind of like that one, the beet gut shot. But what you're doing is you're doing your job trying to help your body to heal. And folks, I don't think that everybody quite realizes that you've got to put forth effort. You really do. There's no magic here, folks. You've got to do your job. Now, I love the idea of crying out to God and praying and asking for help. But do you think that excludes you from drinking a ton of alcohol and not... You know, there's so many people when I come in contact with them, they don't drink water. That still amazes me. Water is one of the greatest elements. As a matter of fact, if you look in the Bible, it says specifically that everything was made that is made from water. Okay? I can't remember where I read that. That might have been in Jude or Peter. Maybe it's in the... there's a reference to it somewhere. I'm sure you know where that is. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, there is a phone line open. You know what? I'm being kind of rude. I kind of dominated the whole program. I didn't take any calls today. The phone line is 903-586-5257. If not, do you remember back at the start of the pandemic for the COVID-19, the largest seller of supplements on the planet is a little-known website called Amazon.com. You may have heard of it, but if you're like me, probably you don't know anything about it. But from what I gather, by sheer volume, they sell more supplements than anybody on the planet. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan, how are you?
I am doing so good. How are you today?
Wonderful. I'm blessed. Thank you. Dr. Morgan, I caught your show a little late today, but anyway, I heard you talking about teeth and stuff, and it got me to thinking. I have a almost 15-year-old daughter, and we discovered that she has a baby tooth that never came down. The situation is she has a permanent tooth behind her teeth that's lodged in the palate.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that the dentists want to do is pull that baby tooth,
mm-hmm,
drill through the bone, and anchor that permanent tooth and pull it through slowly over time.
Oh, that adult tooth must be pushed pretty far back then.
It is. It's okay. Behind all the teeth up in the upper palate.
But did you say he wanted to drill a hole in the jawbone to get that tooth forward?
Yes.
Okay. So he's just trying to create a space because the baby tooth never left a vacancy for it to grow into. I got it.
Right. So pull the baby tooth and pull the permanent tooth out. And here's the deal. I personally have a baby tooth. I'm 55 years old already. It's never come out. I don't have a permanent tooth up in my jaw anywhere, but that baby tooth has never come out, and it's been there, well, 55 years almost.
Is it causing any problems?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. So I'm thinking maybe it would be okay to leave that permanent tooth back there I don't know if it would be reabsorbed or not, but...
No, I don't think it'll be, quote, reabsorbed, because, I mean, enamel is like an amazing substance.
Mm-hmm.
But cosmetically, what does it look like? Does she look... Everything looks just fine the way it is?
Everything looks great. Now, they did find out that she's... She needs braces, so they did put braces on because they're... She's kind of wearing down her bottom gum and teeth the way her top fits.
You mean there's just a very, the bite is not correct, so it's wearing it down?
Right, right. So that's why they went ahead and put the braces on.
Okay. Well, I do not know the answer to that. And I know you understand this is radio. It's not like I can look at it on the television screen. I'm just thinking, if it were me, I would err on the side of what can I do to support the adult tooth that's going to last a lifetime. But I do have a concern. I don't like the idea of drilling holes in the body if you can keep from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because just like, what if a man says, I'm going to go for a prostate biopsy, and they poke a hole in the prostate, and then he's got one infection after the other? Or if somebody does a colonoscopy and they say, whoops, we sort of pushed the camera through the lining of your colon, now you got an abscess. Well, all those things make a difference, but I wonder if there's like a courageous doctor that does orthodontics that might just try to latch onto that tooth and just try to pull it forward over time. I mean, the bones are supposed to remodel, and you know what? You might even ask the question. I'm just giving you something to think about.
Sure.
What if you have to ask the dentist, can't we just pull the baby tooth and then see what happens with the orthodontist, even though it might take a little bit longer with braces? And you know what? Maybe that's the case. Maybe they're saying, in order to efficiently, on a timeline, get from point A to point B, we want to drill a hole. But you might counter with, well, what if it takes twice as long with braces to pull that forward? That'd be okay. But you can always put it to the test and see if that works. Because bone, it's called Wolf's Law of Bone Remodeling. If you try to pull that tooth forward by anchoring a brace on it, who knows, you might could just get that sucker right back in place. It just may take a little bit longer to close the gap or the distance.
Okay.
And then on top of that, when she goes out to milk the cows every morning, she's getting so strong. And then when she goes to feed the chickens, she's getting stronger. This is all going to help that tooth.
Right.
So I don't see any problem with your 15-year-old daughter baling hay today, milking all the cows single-handedly, feeding the chickens, and then planting pecan trees. I think that's just a basic, reasonable plan, don't you?
I do.
Good. Tell her I said so.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I hope you have a great day, and I'm interested to find out how the tooth works out, okay?
All right. I'll let you know.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, sorry, I may have cut her off a little bit too quick, but thank you very much for your phone call. Lord willing, I'm going to attempt to be here next Saturday by His good grace and mercy. I thank you so much for your attention, but I tell you, even if you can just extract one or two key points from the day, then we're in a good shape. What I was going to say about Amazon was this right here. They pulled an amino acid called N-acetylcysteine. Well, to me, this is so interesting when I look up the research on how to kill chronic infections. They've shown that N-acetylcysteine actually permeates or penetrates these biofilms to make it easier for your own natural, God-given immune system to actually work and do its job to heal your body. I like that plan very, very much. All right, I've enjoyed being with you today. This is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan, and you're listening to it on your radio station, KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyre, Longview.